Every month on Ozarks at Large, we investigate the reason why something in our area has its name. Over the past few months, we've learned about the origins of Lake Atalanta in Rogers, Wilson Park in Fayetteville, and all things Shiloh in Springdale. Today, we turn our attention to Jenny Lynn, the inspiration for both a road in Fort Smith and a community in southern Sebastian County near Greenwood. Most sources agree that both were named for a Swedish opera singer, but exactly why she inspired the tributes remains a mystery. This much is agreed upon. The town of Jenny Lynn was formed in 1851 when several smaller towns were combined. After that, it's hazy. A 2001 issue of the Fort Smith Historical Society's journal speculates it is most likely that the singer performed at the Fort Smith Opera House or perhaps in Little Rock and impressed a local resident enough to suggest the town be named for her. But as a researcher at the Fort Smith Museum of History told me, there's a problem with that speculation, because if Jenny Lynn played in Arkansas, there would have surely been a mention in some newspaper or journal, since she was, by far, the most noted entertainer in the United States at the time. And, as far as we can tell, there is no firm evidence she ever did sing in Arkansas. But she did create quite a stir in 1850. Before Justin Bieber sold millions of downloads, before Frank Sinatra made Bobby Socks Her Spoon, even decades before Rudy Valley picked up a megaphone, Jenny Lynn created hysteria as a popular singer in the United States. It may have been more than 150 years ago, but many of the details of her arrival to this country sound very similar to another episode still fresh in our collective memory. She had achieved a degree of popularity in Europe. There was great anticipation before her visit, and one of the best-known promoters of entertainment introduced her to an American audience. Had it been 114 years later, it might have sounded like this.
Now tonight, you're going to twice be entertained by them. Right now and again in the second half of our show. Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles! That's...
Oh, yeah, tell you something. But instead of Ed Sullivan introducing Jenny Lynn to New York and the rest of the country, it was P.T. Barnum.
Jenny Lynn, the queen of song. She's yours, P.T., exclusive contract for all America.
That's a fictionalized version of how P.T. Barnum, played in that clip by Wallace Beery, met Jenny Lynn, played by Virginia Bruce. It's from the 1934 film The Mighty Barnum. In reality, according to an article in the July 1946 issue of the Musical Quarterly, Barnum pursued Jenny Lynn for an American contract before he ever heard her sing. But a deal was reached, and Barnum agreed to pay $187,000 in advance. That sum today, according to the historical statistics of the United States inflation calculator, is equal to about $5 million. Barnum had one small problem, though. Nobody in the United States had heard her sing either. Most had never even heard of her. So Barnum did what we now know him for best. He promoted. The New York Daily Papers of 1850 are filled with articles anxiously awaiting the singer, nicknamed the Swedish Nightingale, to dock in New York City. When the Atlantic, with Jenny Lynn aboard, did arrive, the New York Herald reported more than 30,000 people showed up to try to catch a glimpse.
You could have brought back Napoleon in person and it wouldn't mean a thing to me.
You'll change your mind.
I'm not even interested. What is it?
The Swedish Nightingale.
A nightingale? Mr. Walsh, what has happened to your brains? I send you over and give you a full leeway. Carte blanche, and look what you bring back. The American public loves to be humbugged, but there's a limit.
But New York and American audiences couldn't get enough. Like those four British lads more than a century later, her every move in New York City was followed. Hundreds, if not thousands, trailed behind Lynn and Barnum as they inspected theaters to find just the right one to host her first concert. Tickets were in such demand that auctions were held for the best seats. The first ticket purchased, according to the New York Herald, was by a businessman for $225, a sum, again, according to the inflation calculator, near $6,000 today. Some historians think P.T. Barnum may have staged the auctions and underwritten the ticket purchase to generate even more interest. Staged or not, the first concert was a smash critically and commercially. 29 more followed in the city, and more than 110 years before Beatlemania became a household term, a The newspaper writer dubbed the phenomenon Jenny Lind Mania. Almost every conceivable type of product soon bore her name, usually without consent. There were pies, cigars, bonnets, sugar, and whiskey, all named Jenny Lind. A comic music hall song, the Jenny Lind Mania, became wildly popular. An example of the lyrics? Oh, manias, we've had many. Some have raised the wind. But the most absurd of any has been that of Jenny Lind. Other lyrics recite some of the products that bore her name.
If you step into a grocer's, upon my word it's true, there's Jenny Lind's lump sugar and Jenny's cocoa too. We shall all become great singers, though Jenny Lind pipes high.
The success of the New York concerts led to a national tour, concerts in Philadelphia, Havana, Nashville, St. Louis, and New Orleans. In all, there were 93 concerts promoted by P.T. Barnum, and newspapers dubbed her America's Sweetheart. That reputation was cemented by her practice of giving much, or all, depending on the historic account, of her profits to charities. A PBS documentary about American music says she did give large amounts to the New York City Fire Department Fund and the Lying in Asylum for Destitute Females. Barnum carefully orchestrated her reputation as the ideal image of a woman. That image was so established that schools, bridges, and other landmarks were named in her honor. And 80 years later, in the movie A Lady's Morals, Grace Moore, as Jenny Lind, slaps a man who dares to kiss her after hearing her sing.
You arrogant, unspeakable ruffian! I've sung your second-rate song for you. Now will you get out?
Oh, please, please, don't be absurd.
Absurd? How dare you?
Europeans were perplexed by the attention Jenny Lind was receiving. A cartoon in the October 5th edition of the satirical British magazine Punch depicts Americans as unsophisticated rubes crawling over each other for just a chance to see the Swedish Nightingale. But Americans didn't care about that. They just wanted to hear her sing. The publication The Times reported in 1851 that the tour had grossed at least $850,000, a take that would be equal to roughly $23 million today. And if they couldn't hear her, they wanted to hear something written about her. That's a contemporary version of the Jenny Lind polka, written during the height of the hubbub. After 93 concerts in several cities, Jenny Lind and P.T. Barnum ended their professional relationship, by almost all accounts on friendly terms. She would continue to perform in America through part of 1852, but separated from Barnum's promotional machine, the mania subsided. She would return to Europe and raise a family. She would establish several charitable endowments with her money, and she taught at London's Royal College of Music. Her legend lived on for decades in the U.S. Several movies about her life were made in the 1930s. She even co-starred in a comic book with Wonder Woman in 1938. To this day, there are reminders, a school in Minneapolis, a tower in Massachusetts, a small community in California, and that street in Fort Smith, and the community near Greenwood. While evidence absolutely placing a Jenny Lind performance in Arkansas does not exist, the possibility cannot be ruled out. There is no definitive list of where she sang, especially in the months after she and P.T. Barnum split. So maybe she did sing here, and so inspire residents of 1851 Sebastian County to name a town after her. Though likely the grand sweep of her ballyhooed visit to the U.S. might have been enough. And maybe someday, say in 2114, people will be confused about who Paul McCartney was. But at least the Beatles have recordings. There is no recording of Jenny Lind that exists. There is speculation, there's that word again, that Thomas Edison may have made an early wax cylinder recording of Jenny Lind, but the dates don't work out. We'll just have to do with the legends and the namesakes. This is Ozarks at Large.